This radio show, we're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTVL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It.
The purpose of 1050 KTVL ABQ Connect Now is to have guests like Ron Patel and other leaders that are entrepreneurs in our business ecosystem called the Economic Business Community, and they talk to us about insights. In this next segment, for example, we have Ron, who's going to talk about Delivered Dish and the Alkirgi Soul. And also want to thank DJ Heckes for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect Now at Exhibit. Thank you for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect Now, DJ.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'd love it.
Well, tell us a little bit about Exhibit before we introduce our first guest.
Well, Exhibit is in charge of being an image maker. Think about it. If you have a great brand and a great message, why not put it together on a tangible format where we can help you market to the right target audience at a trade show, event, or conference?
Thank you, DJ, again, for being a sponsor and co-host of ABQ Connect. Now, DJ, our first guest.
Our first guest today is well-known in the community. I would say he's one of those one-degree connectors. His name is Ron Patel. He became an entrepreneur by forming, originally, Just Dine In with a high school buddy named Jarrett Thrapp in 2006. Now, Just Dine In became, in early 2014, Delivered Dish. That's where they have pickup and takeout food and catering orders from the best areas and restaurants, and they deliver to your home, office, or hotel all over the city. Also, Ron, in 2013, following his number one passion in life, which is soccer, he co-founded the minor league soccer team called Albuquerque Soul FC. Welcome, Ron, today on our show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
And we're glad you're here. You know, I'd like to talk about, I think it's so unique. You know, Albuquerque is so well known for startup businesses, and we have a lot of incubators and things like that. You know, talk to us about a high school buddy and going into business together and how that came about, because high school, you're not that old.
Yes, yeah, so Jarrett and I went to Corona del Sol High School in Tempe, Arizona. And we were in the DECA program together, which, by the way, I think is a tremendous program. I still support high school DECA every single year. I'm a judge in the state DECA competition. Richard Faulkner is the gentleman that runs it here in New Mexico. And DECA really instilled values in us that we remember to this day in running our businesses. So I was working in corporate America, so was Jared, and we'd both kind of hit the end of our roads with corporate America. And we said, let's go into business like we always said we would. So I called up Jared and said, you know, there's nobody delivering food here in Albuquerque. Other than pizza restaurants, and most Chinese places don't even deliver here. So we said there's definitely a gap in the marketplace. So we set a sail, and 6 months later, we started the business, October 23rd, 2006, just over a month ago.
Now, I love to hear your story of your startup the first week. You have to share with our audience the first day of business that you share in
Yeah, I remember calling my buddy that went to high school with us also and saying, you know what, we're not going to have enough drivers. There's going to be so many orders. We've got the greatest idea in the world. And we lit up the website the first day, and the phone numbers were active. By midday, we had to check if the phones were still had a dial tone because there was no calls. And the entire first day, we did one order. It was the lady down the hall. Her name was Miss Marquez. She was an Allstate agent. And we actually bought it for her. So it was really a negative one. And we started our first day. We looked at each other and said, oh, crap, what do we do? What do we get ourselves into?
But the passion was there, wasn't it, Jeffrey?
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect. Now we're with you every Saturday on 1050 KTBL. But that's one of the first adages of marketing. You could have the best restaurant in the world, but if no one knows about you, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a great idea anymore. It's how you execute the idea and market your idea. There's plenty of people with great ideas, but there's very, very few people that can execute them.
How did you then become such that you gained enough critical mass to sustain your business?
It was a couple things. Let's go with three things. Hustle, okay, 7 days a week. We took our first day off 6 months into the business. It's a seven-day-a-week business. Every single day I was going out handing out menus. Jared was at the office. If we got an order, I would be the one delivering it because we couldn't keep any drivers. And then number two would be staying involved in the community. I'm a big believer in being involved, giving back, whether it's financially or with your time, or in my case, a combination of both. And I think just learning from those around you. So it doesn't have to be people from inside your industry, although I did do that. I got involved in the National Trade Association. They suckered me into joining the board, and then a year later they suckered me into being president of the trade association. But learning from others that have done it and been there and done that is how I did it. And when they taught me what they knew, I looked at it as my way of giving back by contributing to the trade association. And I do it now locally also with March of Dimes, ALS Association, and I'm the vice president for YPA, the Young Professionals of Albuquerque, which I'm very proud to be on the board for that.
Our guest is Ron Patel. He's the owner, co-owner of Delivered Dish, and also the president, CEO, general manager, all of these things of the Albuquerque Soul. So, Ron, was there a moment in getting to the Delivered Dish area of what you do as an entrepreneur where you saw or felt that you had, quote-unquote, made it as a business, where you had achieved sustainability, or did you have a moment of epiphany, I guess, on the Delivered Dish side of things?
Yeah, some would call it the tipping point, I guess, was when we got to the point where we were doing $1,000 a day in sales. That was kind of our tipping point. We knew we had gotten far enough where we could go farther. And it's nice now because I think back and I remember our first $10 day, $100 day, $1,000 day. I can now say I remember our first $10,000 order when we fed an entire call center from 10 in the morning till 8 at night. But that was about the tipping point. And every industry has it. So for those of you listening, ask around. Find out what the tipping point is in your industry, because every industry has it. And that was kind of ours, was 20 orders a day with $1,000 in sales.
You know, that's fascinating, and you're so well-branded in Albuquerque. Let's talk a little bit about marketing and how you got to the tipping point. I know you handed out flyers and everything, but do you agree also word-of-mouth advertising?
Of course. I think a lot of it is choosing the right kind of customers. And I know that sounds kind of funny, because if you're in business, shouldn't you be begging people to come to you? And I don't subscribe to that model, I guess. We've chosen our customers pretty well. Our average ticket, our average transaction size is about $50. We're not for everyone. We're not a service that you're going to order $8 of food and have it delivered. That's not our customer. That's not a sustainable business model for us to be able to grow. So I think we've done a good job of identifying the correct customer for our business and marketing directly to those people. There's an old saying, if you market to everybody, you're marketing to nobody. So I think we've done a good job. Of course, there's definitely areas of improvement, and we've learned from a lot of mistakes and failures along the years. I really think we've done a good job of identifying the right customer.
Thank you again for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It.
DJ, talk about some of the live events coming up along with ABQ Connect Now, the radio program. We extend that with having live events to assist our business listeners with live networking and synergistic relationships.
I sure will. And also, I wanted to say to everybody, happy Thanksgiving weekend. I know everybody's probably full with a stuffed belly from this past Thursday. I know I am. But please, you know, save the dates, because we have some great upcoming events coming up. Save the date for Wednesday, December 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at Dave & Buster's, 2100 Louisiana Northeast. That's 5 to 8 p.m. ABQ Connect Now. Also, January 28th, Exhib It will be hosting the next ABQ Connect Now from 5 to 8 p.m. at 6207 Pan American Freeway. That's January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m.
And keep in mind, EJ, these events are free. If you're a business person, just give me a call at 604-9081.
Yes, but most proudly, it's our third leadership summit coming up.
Woo-hoo!
Jeffrey, and the last two, and Ron, you were involved in that also. The last two were so well attended, and we had some great testimonials. It's February the 4th from 8 to 12:15. It will be at the Marriott Hotels and Resorts. Now, this event is not free, but it's not much at all for what you get on an ROI. It's $25 early registration. That's through January 28th, 35 late registration through the day of the event, January 29th through February 4th. That's from 8 to 12:15. It's called Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit. We have five great leadership speakers lined up. One of them is a national author on the five gears, how to be present and productive when there is never enough time. I suggest you go to the website, NM Leaders. That's NM for New Mexico, leaders.com to RSVP and save your seat, because space is limited.
Thank you. Again, Ron, I really appreciate what you said about being selective about your audience, your consumer. It's kind of like, let's use Marcello's as an example. It's a high-end steakhouse. Probably the average entrees there are going to be about $55, not including drinks, hors d'oeuvre. So if that particular entity, for example, skewed toward, no offense, the Walmart consumer. That person's going to go in and order an appetizer and maybe water and occupy a seat. So that's not
exactly
a good fit.
And it works the opposite way, too. I mean, if you're the operator for Garcia's, let's say, and you're going after a typical customer that goes into Marcello's, you're probably spinning your wheels a little bit and not going after the right kind of customer. So there's
right.
no such thing as a better customer. It's just a what's more selected for whatever your business
that's
is.
That's one of the principles of marketing, knowing your audience. How do you reach the audience? How do you gather that audience into your world? Are you priced correctly? What is your competition doing? What are the threats in the marketplace? So it's not as simple as throwing spaghetti on the wall by getting an ad with your logo and putting it in a newspaper or whatever people do and thinking that's marketing.
Well, here
that's
in New Mexico, we throw Fideos on the wall, not spaghetti, just so you know.
Fine.
Well, you know, and also in New Mexico, I see a lot of people moving from out of state to in state, and they'll come in and they'll start handing out their business cards and try to do a startup business, right? And sometimes they may not be successful in the first year or two because we have a different culture here, and we have a unique culture where it's who you know, like, and trust. And we have that one degree referral association that if you went to Dallas or Colorado or even Arizona, it's not quite the same. And I think that's what's unique here.
Yeah, I mean, every town is a relationship town to some extent, but I think in Albuquerque, it's a little bit more accentuated. It took me a while to get plugged in the community. I moved here in 2004 from Phoenix, and it was definitely an adjustment. But I think, you know, if you're starting a business here, there's so many positives to starting a business here in terms of operating costs and, you know, access to just about anyone you need access to, and the ability to market and live at a very reasonable price. But I think it's a great place to do business, and I'm an advocate for our city everywhere I go.
Our guest is Ron Patel. He's the co-owner of Delivered Dish. So, Ron, getting back to your business, when you had success, whatever, was that 8 years ago, did you say? How long?
Been in business 9 years now.
Okay, like I said, 9 years ago. When did you see that social media became a factor that you needed to integrate into your marketing mix?
Yeah, social media is obviously a necessity now in your business, but it's not the whole thing of, oh, you just have to have a Facebook account or you just have to have a bit of Twitter account. It's all about how you utilize it. And a lot of people think, well, I've got a Facebook, so people should just be coming on. And that's not necessarily it. And marketing through Facebook is very different from marketing through Twitter, which is very different from marketing through Instagram. The best example of this, if you look at our millennial generation right now, so you look at, I have a stepdaughter, her name is Nikki, and she's 17, and I watch the way that she communicates to people through social media. And communicating through these different channels, a lot of the teenagers now aren't even on Facebook anymore because they know that grandma and grandpa can see what they're putting. So now they're switching to Instagram, and I think Snapchat is the other one, which I have no idea how it works. I've heard about it, but I haven't used it. But I'm a believer in finding people that know what they're talking about, people like Ms. Heck is here in the studio, that know exactly how to communicate through these mediums, because for you to spend the time to try to figure it out is going to take way longer than just hiring somebody to do that. So at Delivered Dish now, we have a marketing team that focuses on certain things, and the same with Albuquerque Soul. We've now invested a little bit into the right kinds of people that know the social media platforms and how to market through them.
You know, and that's so true. I'm glad you mentioned that, because as a startup business, and 9 years, really, not even a startup anymore, when you're posting what you do well, I know you get a lot of interaction, and it's really not just about blasting. It's more about putting a statement, a statistic, asking a question. I find that I get a lot of answers just by even posting the Balloon Fiesta photos up there and getting interaction and dialogue, which helps with your brand.
Yep, absolutely. And pictures, a picture says 1,000 words, and especially when you're in the food business, and with Albuquerque Soul, we're in the event business.
You're listening to ABQ Connect Now, our business radio program. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari along with
DJ Heckes.
So, Ron, getting back to what we talked about earlier, you're an entrepreneur. You also run the New Mexico Soul. Where is it, Albuquerque Soul? Forgive me.
So you always say New Mexico. It's okay.
That's why it's a radio show, so we can clarify these possible errors.
I appreciate that.
Talk a little bit about the soccer team as well, please.
Yeah, so as DJ alluded to earlier, you know, it's been my passion my whole life. My dad says I've been kicking a soccer ball since I could walk. And it was literally sitting on the couch one day. At the time, my girlfriend, now my wife, came over. She said, "What are you doing?" "I'm watching soccer videos." I'm like, "I think we need a pro soccer team in Albuquerque." She goes, "How are you going to do that?" I said, "Well, you know, we got to start semi-pro, and I'm going to need $150,000. And she goes, "Well, how are you going to do that?" I said, "I have no idea." because I'd started a business before. I've started multiple businesses, but I've never had to raise capital. And that in itself was a learning experience, as I took 30 no's before I got my first yes for investors. And we have a very, very resourceful investor, too, that you know, you don't make money the first couple of years as a sports franchise. But, you know, we're committed to the long term. We've had a 10-year plan from day one. So 2014 was our first season. We were going to be a pro team by 2018, and we're going to make a bid for MLS here in Albuquerque by 2024. Now, right now, a lot of people say Albuquerque's not ready for MLS, and I agree. Where we're at right now, we're not ready. It's our job as the Albuquerque Soul to foster a soccer culture. We are a soccer town.
MLS, then, is akin to having a major league baseball or football team, correct?
MLS, LA Galaxy, when David Beckham came over and played, that's the league that he played.
So what are some of the criteria that would make Albuquerque a viable MLS target?
Biggest thing is facility. Okay, we don't have the facility right now. It'd be impossible to have an MLS team here. I guess it was not impossible. You could play at the UNM football stadium. But the way that soccer is going, and soccer is exploding right now, for those of you who don't know, is soccer-specific stadium. So a multi-purpose stadium, preferably located near the downtown area, that seats at least 17,000 people. So it'd be a 17,000 to 20,000 seat stadium. So right now, obviously, we are not equipped for that. It's our job as the Soul to create that soccer culture. And, you know, as I was saying, Albuquerque is a soccer town. We just don't know it yet. The Lobos have been doing a fantastic job for many, many, many years. What we're trying to do is foster a year-round soccer culture with events like we did a couple months ago with Civic Plaza. We had 1,800 people down there to watch U.S. versus Mexico on a screen. We had food trucks and beer garden. We just got done with our video game tournament where we had people play FIFA soccer. And every single month we're doing different stuff around the game of soccer.
How many MLS teams are there in the United States?
Currently there is 24 franchises. There's 20 active, but there's four coming in. And then they could go as high as 28, possibly 32. So our goal is we would probably come in around the 30, 31st, or 32nd franchise.
By the way, DJ, the word soccer comes from the word association.
Nice. Thank you for enlightening me.
Well, I did research for our guest, Ron Patel, who is the co-owner of Albuquerque Soul.
Ron, tell us about this December 19th event just coming up in a few weeks.
So it's actually not the 19th. It's the 26th.
Oh, thank you.
Is the Boxing Day party. So we're actually doing a Boxing Day tournament over at International Indoor. You guys know what Boxing Day is?
No, share with us.
So Boxing Day, I'm English, and Boxing Day is a holiday in England, which is the day after Christmas, and all the soccer teams play on Boxing Day. It's just like another holiday like Christmas. The name comes, since we're talking name associations here, the name comes from, it's supposed to be the day after Christmas where you box up all the gifts that you don't want, and that's how it originally started back in the day in England. So we're having a Boxing Day tournament. We're raising money for the Pat Grange Foundation, who was a gentleman that played for UNM and sadly died at age 28 of ALS. A few years back. So we're raising money for his foundation and bringing together a bunch of people. We're hoping that lots of people that are from outside of New Mexico now coming back for the holidays can participate and just going to have a fun day playing soccer.
How do people sign up for this event, and is there a cost?
So, yeah, so there'll be all the details are on our website if you go to abqsoulfc.com. That's abqsoulfc.com.
And again, just a reminder, our next ABQ Connect Now event, December 2nd, on a Wednesday, I believe it is, at Dave and Buster's, 5 to 8 p.m. If you'd like to attend, it is free. If you are a business person, just give me a call, 604-9081. And then our Leadership Tomorrow Today event coming up as well. And then, of course, DJ will talk a little bit about her hosting another ABQ Connect Now event. I believe that's in January 28th. Is that right, DJ?
Yes, it is.
And it will be at Exhibit, because you are also the sponsor of ABQ Connect Now, the radio show. So, Ron, getting back to what you were talking about, opening up a business 9 years ago, you see all these support entities, Albuquerque ID, Verge, Fat Pipe, all that. That is obviously, these are positives. What's your take on some of these incubator support mechanisms that have populated our ecosystem in the last couple of years?
I think it's great, and I think no one can deny there's something in the air in Albuquerque right now for entrepreneurialism, and there's a movement that's taking place. It hasn't just started. It's been around a long time, but it's got its critical mass now, And the whole purpose of the Innovation District, I believe the radius is 1.3 miles from an epicenter, which is where the epicenter building is. They're building all these support systems and incubators for small businesses. And I think that I'm seeing the stuff coming out of these little incubators that are now becoming big incubators. And I'm a startup geek. I'm involved in the startup community. I've been involved in Startup Weekend, which they do, which is a great thing. I've been involved in lots of other things. And I think it's great for our city. I'm a true believer that Albuquerque is a great place to live as well as a great place to start a business.
Epicenter is going to be hosting an ABQ Connect Now event in May.
Ooh.
I'm pretty excited about that, as did Fat Pipe recently, right, DJ?
Yeah, and you know the interesting thing, Jeffrey, we're booked on ABQ Connect events through May 25th every single month.
Actually, June. You don't know about this, but Verge just signed on as well, which is another business support entity in the ecosystem.
Absolutely.
So, Ron, talk a little bit more about your business, Delivered Dish. How many restaurants are participating currently?
So in Albuquerque, we have close to 80 restaurants that participate in our program. As we mentioned earlier, we did merge with another company a couple years ago and grew. We're actually in 7 markets around the United States, have close to 1,000 restaurants in those 7 markets. But 80 restaurants here in Albuquerque that participate. More importantly, I like to think is our customer base of over 15,000 people that have now used Delivered Dish and use it on a pretty regular basis.
What other cities are you in, Ron? Because I would see that even big, like downtown Chicago and places like that. Where else are you?
So we were trying to connect the dots, although there were some companies that wanted to sell their business where we acquired. But we are in Denver and El Paso, which are the connect the dot cities. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. Got to preface it with Nevada in this state. And then the company we merged with was based out of Portland. So they're in Portland, Eugene, and San Diego also. So those are the 7 markets.
Are you trying to expand? Is that something you guys want to get in different markets, or you want to do well where you're at right now?
Yeah, always trying to expand, but at the same time, you can't keep you can't take your eye off the true part of your business, which is creating money. So we're focused on growth in all markets. We are growing very, very well in 6 out of 7 markets. There's one market where we do have a challenge. We're not afraid to admit that. We all have challenges in our business, and that's the Las Vegas market. We're having some struggles with really connecting with the consumer in that market.
In the Delivered Dish model, Ron, you obviously have a built-in predisposed audience. They have to eat, right?
Correct.
And so you've got that predisposed inherent, business inclination. In the other sports, soccer, there is no inclination to have to go see a soccer game. So how do you differentiate the way you target and market to those two different populations?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're not really in the soccer business. We're in the event business. And that's what we do. We produce events. We just happen to produce soccer events. People that come to our games aren't all soccer fans, but they are looking for a night out. So when people ask what my competition is, they assume I'm going to say the Albuquerque Isotopes. And that is not the case. I admire the Isotopes. They do a great job of putting on a family experience. I think the funny thing about an Isotopes game is you could ask 90% of the people as they're coming out of the stadium who won the game, and they wouldn't know. And you know why? It's because they put on a terrific fan experience. Now, I'm not saying I don't want people to know the score of a soul game when they leave. However, using that as an example, we are competing with dinner and a movie. We are competing with going out with the family and doing something
together.
Well,
the entertainment dollar.
Exactly.
You know, Ron, a lot of people may not know this. The Albuquerque Soul Foundation is a New Mexico nonprofit, but I really like to hear about your dedication to overcoming childhood obesity through the growth of soccer. Can you share with our audience what you're doing in that capacity?
Yeah, so it's still in its infancy. When we started the Soul, we said, look, we've got this platform that we are able to do something with, and the platform is a sports team. So how can we leverage the platform to do good? So we devote every home game to a nonprofit that's involved in the community here. We have 2 mechanisms in place in each home game to raise money for the nonprofit, and then the people from the nonprofit are treated like VIPs. So we have 50-50 raffles. We have jump houses that are donated by M Realty. And then your parent will go over and pay $1 or $2 for their kids to jump around in the inflatable jump houses, and that money goes straight to the nonprofit. We've teamed up. We're working on a partnership right now with United Way for next year to get involved in more local nonprofits, and we just feel that we've got this platform, which is the soccer field. Let's utilize it to do good.
So, Ron, you're also an author of a book, When It Hit Me. And you wrote that on a napkin or something. Talk a little bit about your book as an author.
Yeah, so the title is That's When It Hit Me, and it's the subtitle would be How to Take an Idea from a Cocktail Napkin to Reality. So I'm a very scatterbrained person, and I'm always coming up with different things. When I see a problem, I want to solve it. And very oftentimes I've been sitting there and wrote it on a cocktail napkin. So years ago I decided, hey, why not write a book about it? It actually started as a blog, and the blog turned into a book.
What is the thrust of the book?
Real-world examples of stuff that I've done, and how you can implement them into your business. There's like the 7 ingredients to success in any business that are in the book. And then there's just stories of ideas I've had put on a cocktail napkin and brought into fruition. And the offers on the table in the book to anyone that's it's on Amazon, and the offers on the table to anyone that wants to implement one of those business plans. I don't want anything for it. I'm happy to help because I can't possibly come up and execute these 25 business ideas that are in the book. But it was more of a fun project for me and a way for me to express myself. And it came at a time in my life when I was going through a bad time, gotten out of a bad relationship. I needed something to occupy my time. And this occupied my time and ended up being a book that was published.
Well, congratulations. I know how that goes, taking blogs to a book. That's how I wrote my first book. So, you know, it's always neat to see that execution. Because a lot of people talk about writing a book, but actually doing it is another whole story.
Yeah, and when you get down to it, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's 15 minutes a day. I know, Jeffrey, you've been working on yours too. It's really 15 minutes a day. When I had a little downtime, I'd jump into Flying Star or a satellite, or not around anymore, but the old Annapolis Tea Company on Eubank and Candelaria, and I'd just write.
You're listening to ABQ Connect Now Business Radio program. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria along with
DJ Heckes.
Again, the purpose of our show is to bring guests like Ron Patel on to talk about what he's doing as an entrepreneur. What did he do? What is he doing? What's he going to do? So what is your, speaking of what you're going to do, we've talked a little about what you're going to do with the soul. Thoughts on any other entrepreneurial endeavors beyond the two businesses you currently have, or you have multiple?
I got 30, 40 ideas.
Okay.
But no, a focus is very key. I definitely think that as I get older, I'm like, want to kind of aggregate towards soccer because it is my passion. Right now, though, Delivered Dish is going very well, and it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be able to remove myself from the business. But eventually, I would like to have an exit from Delivered Dish and then go more into the soccer world and have the business revolving around soccer.
I'd like to end with this last question. You know, young professionals of Albuquerque, tell us a little bit about the event. And about the membership, because you said you're vice chair or vice president?
Vice president, yes.
Okay, share with our audience what age group that is and what you all do.
So Young Fresh Albuquerque, YPA for short, we're the movers and shakers of the town in our 20s and 30s, about 130 members, but we've had thousands of people come to our events. And the way that I explain it is if they're not the decision maker, they influence the decision maker. It's a great group to be a part of if you're in that kind of age group from 20 to 39. We do 3 different types of events. We do lunches with leaders. We've had the mayor. We've had president and CEO of big companies, Presbyterian, Loveless, Isleta Casino. And then we've also had people come in and do specific topics. We do Live After Fives, which is happy hour. And then we do community engagement where we go out. We've just cooked at the Ronald McDonald House recently. We've repainted an ARCA facility and helped with the Special Olympics.
Thank you again for listening to ABQ Connect Now. DJ, a quick review of our live events.
Don't forget, save the date December 2nd, right around the corner, 5 to 8 at Dave & Buster's. You can RSVP by calling 604-9081.
Also, the Leadership Summit again.
February 4th, same number to call from 8 to 12:15. RSVP at nmleaders.com.
Thank you again, Albuquerque, for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now, 1050 KTBL. We're with you every Saturday. Please stay tuned. We'll be back.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. Proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Welcome back to the second half of ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL AM. Our second guest today is a longtime friend of mine, and my name is DJ Heckes, one of the co-sponsors of this radio show, Dave Muir. He's the president and CEO of the Armed Response Team, Inc. It's an Albuquerque, New Mexico company that utilizes retired police officers to immediately respond in person to burglar alarms. Now, over the last 11 years, Armed Response Team, also known as ART, has grown to become the largest New Mexico-owned company in the electronic security industry. Welcome, Dave, today on our show.
Thanks, DJ. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Armed Response Team and how unique you are of using ex-police officers and how valuable that can be for both commercial and residential.
DJ, the electronic security industry, the large national players that everybody's heard about, the three-letter companies, as well as a lot of the local companies, build around the classic model, which is that they'll install a security system in your home or in your business, and when it goes off, they'll call you, or they'll get in the queue when they call the Albuquerque Police Department, because sometimes that can take many, many hours before a police officer has the ability to respond. We innovated. We decided we're going to take the classic electronic security model, but we're going to stand it on its head. And instead of asking you to respond to your alarm or asking the police department, which is overwhelmed with more important calls, to respond to often false alarms, we respond. We hire retired officers, individuals who served 20 years with the Albuquerque Police Department. They come to work for us, and now those are the individuals that are responding to the alarms at our clients' locations. By doing that, we can make sure to get there quickly. We know what to do. Our officers know how to handle themselves in the situation to keep everybody safe. And most importantly, we dramatically reduce crime.
And that's so important. And Dave, I'm a customer of yours, so I'm going to give you a quick testimonial for our listening audience. A couple years ago, I guess my alarm went off about 12:15 in the morning. My husband was out of town. I get a call from your team, and it said that the door had not been locked, and it's been set off, the alarm. And I was thinking, they said, do you want to come down? And I said, well, gosh, I'm by myself. So your officer person called me on my cell, asked me if I wanted him to meet me there in person. We walked through the whole place together, and he never once left me unattended. Now, that's personal service, and I just think it's so unique how responsive ART can be for a business owner like myself and how important it is to protect your assets.
Well, DJ, after the tragic events that have happened in Albuquerque in the last year, with unfortunately some officers losing their lives in the line of service, I want you to realize that our group is staffed by the best of the best. These are individuals that worked for at least 20 years for the Albuquerque Police Department. They did it very professionally. They did it because they really enjoy making our community safer. And now all of that training and experience and skill and good judgment that they had earned over that period of time, they are now putting to use for our clients right here in the metro area.
And that's so valuable, and we appreciate all you're doing. So tell us some unique things that ART is doing in the future, and you've actually been growing over the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that is very challenging for people, and especially for businesses, is how do you protect outdoor sites, storage yards, construction sites, areas where you're storing vehicles with maybe fuel or parts or tools? That's a real challenge for most security companies because they can install sensors, but when they go off, they don't have anybody to respond. We've married the better parts of outdoor technology with our immediate in-person response to provide true lockdown security for outdoor sites. This has helped companies that are building buildings. I mean, for example, a couple of the major contractors that build Albuquerque Public Schools buildings will never start a project without having us on site. We can even do things on a temporary basis for 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it takes for that project to go through its entire build phase and to make sure that we're keeping that site secure, safe, all the tools, all the materials are all in place so that the work can get done very efficiently.
So, Dave, how does one get in touch with Armed Response Team to find out if it's a good fit for their needs?
Well, thanks, DJ, for asking. We service both homeowners and commercial businesses of all different shapes and sizes as far as businesses are concerned. Anything from a small strip mall operation with a front and a back door all the way through large multi-building campus environments. To contact us, we're easy to reach at 237-2278. That's 237-2278, or on the web at armedresponseteam.com.
Now, you're a locally owned company in New Mexico?
Correct. We were started here, and we're still owned and managed right here in New Mexico.
Wow. And how long has Armed Response Team been in business? I know you've been there 11 years. How long have they been in business?
Right. The company was founded in early 2004. So we're coming up on 12 years in business, coming up next April. And we've been able to start with just this kernel of an idea, got some investment behind us, kind of created the core of what it was that started this company. I came on board about a year and a half into the process when there was a lot of needs to add new innovations and new marketing push. I've enjoyed being along the ride ever since, and it's been a wonderful thing to see this company become such a viable and an important company serving the community right here.
You're listening to every Saturday from 10 to 11, 1050 KTBL AM. And also, our sponsor is Exhib It, and my name is DJ Heckes. I want to share with you a couple events that are coming up. Make sure you RSVP for December 2nd, ABQ Connect Now, Wednesday, December 2nd, 5 to 8 p.m. at Dave & Buster's on 2100 Louisiana Northeast. You can call 604-9081. That's just in a few days. Also, Exhib It will host the next ABQ Connect Now event on Thursday, January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. at 6207 Pan American Freeway. And don't forget, our Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit will be February 4th, 2016 from 8 to 12:15 p.m. at the Marriott Hotels. That's the Marriott Pyramid. $25 early registration through January 28th. That will get you a continental breakfast, some great leadership presentations with takeaway action items. You can RSVP by going to nmleaders.com. That's nmleaders.com. Dave, thanks so much for being here today. I'd like to kind of move on. You have done so many things over the last 30 years. I know you founded, built, and successfully sold multiple companies. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience for our listeners? Because, you know, that's so innovative to me, and to be able to build things and to be able to build them to sell and then walk away and start a new thing.
Well, DJ, I think innovation is an underutilized or under-discussed topic for businesses that want to get going. I mean, all too often, people who want to become entrepreneurs think they need to develop some new radical technology or some very, very unbelievable process in order to get traction and make themselves go forward. On the other hand, I would say that you can take even traditional industries and still innovate within them and create a long, strong history that allows you to grow and transition companies. I think one of the key elements is you've got to start thinking like you're a much bigger company than you are when you're founded. One of the things that we did in the earliest days of Armed Response Team was we recruited and have retained a very professional board of directors. These are not just friends and family. These are all seasoned business professionals that shared the vision of what we want to grow to become. And by having those individuals involved from the very beginning of the company, we've been able to get a lot of additional looks at what we're doing without just being insular and looking at ourselves. I think one of the key things is this. Peter Drucker is one of the key management consultants of all time. Everybody's read stuff by Drucker. Well, one of Drucker's best quotes is this: business has two functions and only two, marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation make money. Everything else is a cost. And all too often, businesses that want to really see themselves move into the growth mode have forgot that innovation component. You know, they're busy advertising, possibly, or marketing, but they're also not paying as close attention as they need to how they are innovative. Because if you're innovative, and then you can tell that story, then you can create differentiation from the marketplace.
You know, Dave, that's so true, because I see a lot of companies that have been in business a long time. And, you know, you have different phases of business. You start up, you ramp up.
you know, your rapid growth, then you have your existence stage. And sometimes when you get to maturity, it's easy to go, oh, we've been in business a long time. We don't need to innovate. That's the worst mistake someone can make. Do you have any suggestions out there for existing businesses, maybe to learn in their own field how to really take that innovation and go forward with it?
You've got to constantly be reinventing yourself. You've got to be able to step away from yourself on a regular basis, really separate yourself from the everyday aspects of your business and sit down and say, okay, are we really growing and going in the directions that we think we should be? And that's a hard thing to do because that self-reflection often doesn't come to ourselves. We have to involve others in this. We have to challenge other individuals to sit down with us and really pick our business apart and say, you know, wait a minute here. It seems like society is moving this way, or millennials are moving that way, or technology is changing in the following ways. How is that impacting our business and what we're going to do in order to be successful in the years to come? That whole process of sitting down and doing that very honest look in, that soul searching that has to occur, that's a process that's hard for most people because they're involved in their business every day. They're working, they're so busy working in their company that they don't spend enough time working on it, stepping apart. It's easier to see it. It isn't do that. I'm not advocating that that's just an automatic process. But without it, you'll lose your way going forward.
You know, both of us are boomers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you always hear about the SWOT analysis. That's the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities for improvement, and threats. And I think that's so important to go back to the basics, reinvent yourself, figure out what you're doing well. Since 2008, I've heard a lot of small businesses that have gone under, even here in New Mexico.
Oh, yes.
Because they're not looking at the innovation with opportunities for improvement. They're maybe looking at the threats and letting that lead them down the wrong path.
There's a local business here in town that I know quite well, and he's done well over the last 30 years, but he always led with low price. That was his mantra. I will be the low price leader. Consequently, for the last 11 years, he hasn't once raised any of his prices. Well, his costs have gone up, but his profit is dropping. Well, all of a sudden, a new technology player has entered in from out of this area, and they cut the price by 50%. So what's he got left to respond with? He's really going to struggle because his position was staked around low price. Well, low price is fleeting nowadays. You can't count upon that as the one way to differentiate yourself. Frankly, even Walmart, as much as they advertise those prices, they're not the lowest priced person out there. So the key is how do you do more than just claim one position competitively? Again, that's where innovation comes in. Innovation is the process of sitting back and saying, what can we do in a way that really separates ourselves from what other people are doing in our marketplace? How can we take one part of our company and turn it into a significant advantage? Most people have that. They just don't spend the time looking at it to see it for what it is.
You know, going back to the Walmart story, it's interesting. They're focused right now because the stock market, they've been going down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they publicly came out and said, we are focusing on customer service for the next 2 years. So that tells me they're taking an inward outward approach, because you know that pendulum that says your inward reality needs to be just as strong as your outside perception. If one of those are off balance, you're really not being innovative and growing for the consumers.
Well, there's really two keys to all the stories that you're telling to the public place. Number one, if you have a message about how you're being an innovator, you have to make it, you have to frame it in such a way that they understand, which means don't use your internal speak. Talk in terms of what the marketplace needs to hear. So it's got to be understood. But then the second component is it's got to be believable. And all too often, people get stuck using platitudes and generalities to describe how their business is different. Well, I got news for you folks. Platitudes and generalities roll off human understanding like water from a duck's back. They leave no impression whatsoever. That quote, by the way, is from the father of modern advertising. Way back 100 years ago, when he was creating national brands like Firestone, that was his mantra, and that's still true today.
You know, Dave, you have so much insight with your 30 years. We really appreciate you being on here for our listeners today. And that brings us to, you are listening to Business Talk Radio Show, ABQ Connect Now. Tune in every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL AM. I'd like to remind you of our upcoming events, and happy Thanksgiving weekend, by the way. I wanted to say that again. I hope you're really enjoying your holiday weekend. And our next event is coming up in a few days, Wednesday, December 2nd, from 5 to 8 p.m.
make sure you call 604-9081 to RSVP. It will be held at Dave & Buster's at 2100 Louisiana Northeast. January 28th, exhibit will be hosting the next ABQ Connect Now from 5 to 8 p.m. And lastly, don't forget Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit, February 4th from 8 to 12:15 at the Marriott Hotels and Resorts, and it'll be at 5151 San Francisco. The cost is $25 early registration. It includes continental breakfast and five dynamic speakers with takeaway messages that you can go ahead and apply in your business. So, David, getting back to you, mm-hmm. I'd like to also ask you about your mentoring and your coaching. You do a lot of giving back. You take a lot of what you've done over the years, and you're such a humble, strong leader. And I want you to share, you know, with what you've been doing in the past 15 years in that realm of your life.
DJ, I call myself the biggest gee whiz kid out there. I love to look at what other people are doing and the ideas that they're coming up with and say, gee whiz, how do you do that? Why do you do that? And that's what's made it so fun for me to be involved with other businesses and trying to give back, as you call it, but also just that whole process of that stimulation that it brings to me to see how people think about framing their businesses in a way that truly does innovate. Lots of times, I'll be honest with you, I challenge people. I look at them and say, well, wait a minute here. What? You're not really setting yourself apart. You think you are, but you're not using the kinds of terms that I think myself as a consumer could really pick up on. And you know what? It's always easiest to look at somebody else's business or situation and give comments than it is to look at yourself. So I'm not claiming that I have any special gift here. But again, just that curiosity factor. I love to follow what's happening. I love to understand why people do what they do because, you know, there are nuggets of wisdom that I can pick from others and then apply in my own case.
You know, and you're listening to Dave Moyer, the CEO of Armed Response Team. Dave, tell us a little bit also, you know, you're involved in community. You know, mm-hmm. I know you and I were on the C-12 board for quite a few years. That's the Christian C-12 organization. And, you know, we actually got to share insights there, too. Tell me about some of the mentorship that you're doing personally and what you're giving back in the community at present.
I think everybody needs to find a way to have outside advisors, be they a board of directors or be they a mastermind group or be they just friends, that they are routinely talking to help them out with their business. For example, I'm in the electronic security industry. As such, I'm a part of the big Honeywell family of dealers around the country. There's about 300 of us that are all best practice oriented. Well, what I've done is, within that group, I've carved out a group of 12 individuals that I have a pretty strong connection to all over the country. And we meet once a month, virtual, and then twice a year, face-to-face. And all we're dedicated to doing is sharing ideas and critiques and improvements and the kinds of trends that we're seeing in whatever market they're in, Atlanta or Detroit or Cincinnati or out in Southern California, wherever they're located. I'm picking up ideas from them that I can apply here in New Mexico and then in turn, maybe things that we've learned here that they could apply in their locations as well. Get yourself a trusted group of advisors. That will pay benefits far beyond the time that you're going to invest in the process.
You know, Dave, and you're also, I know you're a national speaker too. And you educate a lot in your industry, and you keep people apprised of the latest developments, technology, what you need to be doing to protect your business. Tell us a little bit about some of the speaking engagements that you've had. I know we shared earlier about the National Lieutenant Governor Association and the Secretary of Energy with Stephen Shaw, and then also the Under Secretary of Department of Commerce in Washington. You've been speaking, and what are you sharing out there about what's going on for trends and latest innovation things?
I think the most important thing is to gather from them their sense of where we're going nationally. You know, what's Washington's evolving policies going to be for businesses throughout the country, and especially those that are going to impact us here in New Mexico? And then, on the other side of the coin, it's for them to hear from us, local business people here, that can in turn share our insights and share our experiences. Because what's happening somewhere else in the country may not be happening here. Oftentimes we are separate entities. But by both giving them some insight as to what we're seeing and then learning from them as well. There's a tremendous synergy that occurs between the two. And I can honestly say in each of the opportunities I've had to be in national roundtables or in given presentations, I've taken away nearly as much as I've been able to give. And when the National Lieutenant Governors Association was meeting here in Albuquerque a year ago, I mean, here I am listening to people from, you know, deeply woven into their state and into their economic development issues in their locales, and I'm asking them as many questions as they're asking me, and it's turning into something that really becomes a mutual sharing point of ideas. And there's always a lot to be learned if you're willing to work with the ratio of 2 ears and one mouth. If you keep that ratio in mind, there's so much that you can pick up from listening to people that have had a whole series of other experiences.
You know, and that synergy is so important. And then also, you know, like you said, surrounding yourself with like-minded or better, smarter, they always say.
I'm the guy who says, I want to be the dumbest guy in the room. If I'm the chance, if I have the opportunity, I want people that are far further along than I've ever been, because there's where I can pick up the greatest knowledge.
And Dave, you're not really from Albuquerque. You kind of moved here. You're originally from Brookfield and then Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In 1977, you moved here. Tell us a little bit about what brought you to Albuquerque.
Well, my wife and I and our family, we're here by choice, not by chance. We wanted out of the Midwest, and we looked at opportunities when we were newlyweds, and we settled here in Albuquerque. We were here for a number of years, and then a business opportunity drew me back to the Midwest, and we returned. And I promised my wife, I said, there will be a day we'll come back to the sun. And we did, and we've been thrilled ever since. Albuquerque is an interesting marketplace. I mean, yes, we're very government dependent, and yes, we have a lot of those issues that can sometimes be difficult for businesses, but I think it also creates an even more dynamic environment where we can, if we're willing to, get outside our comfort zone and grow. And that wasn't necessarily as true back when I lived in the Midwest. It was a little more staid as far as, you know, the way the culture was set up and the way businesses were conducted. I mean, out here, I think it's more dynamic. And I'm really, this is home. I can't imagine that we're ever going to leave.
You're listening to Dave Moyer, the CEO of Armed Response Team, on Business Talk Radio Show every Saturday from 10 to 11 on 1050 KTBL AM. Thanks so much for sharing so much that you have the wisdom and the knowledge. Let's go back to marketing for a minute.
Sure.
You and I have been doing marketing for, 15 plus years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's share with the audience a little bit about going back to that innovation and understanding your business. You know, we always talk about not everyone is your customer. What can you share when you're looking for a customer? How do you delineate all of the information and know who's the right fit for what you have?
Well, you have to be able to clearly define why your business stands apart in some way, shape, or form from your competition. And once you've done that, who is your marketplace will become much clearer. It'll become much easier to focus on it. If you say that everybody is my customer or my prospect, the likelihood is none of them will be. Because with that broad a stroke, the likelihood is that you can't focus enough and really create enough differentiation for what you're doing to truly narrow in on somebody. I mean, DJ, I'll be honest with you. Our product is the most expensive in the marketplace, and we've still become the largest company in the state of New Mexico, even with the most expensive product, because what we did was we made a story and expressed it in words that people could understand and believe that said, this is why we're worth what we are. Every day, all of us make choices in what we buy, and we don't always buy the cheapest thing out there. Many of us make different choices than each other because we've picked up on a message that says, I want a certain vehicle or a certain type of clothing or a certain type of electronics. So we have purposely, with our business, and hopefully all of you that are listening, you're finding a way to target your audience. Because if you can do well with even a slice of the potential marketplace, you will have all the business you can probably handle.
And Dave, doesn't it go back to your outreach campaign? It takes more than just one or two touch points. When you're doing an email marketing campaign, it's about an average of 7 touch points if you're reaching their emotional buying hot button.
That's a key. I mean, I don't care if I'm a purchasing agent working for an oil field supplier and I got to buy $250,000 valve. In the end, it's not an analytical choice. It's an emotional choice. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want that part to fail. I don't want it to arrive late. So buying decisions are historically made with the heart. You do your analysis with your head, but you're making your decision with your heart. So you've got to be able to bridge and connect those two. You've got to create enough data that they can analyze how you're better and different. And then you've got to make them feel comfortable that they've actually made the right choices, that they're not making a mistake by buying your product or your service.
Because that logic, once it takes over, it's history. It's stronger sometimes than emotion if you haven't convinced your consumer of that. So let's talk about, I think you guys have done some TV, radio, and print before. What kind of advertising does Arm Response Team do?
You know, there isn't any one formula here. I am finding that in the end, the most effective, consistent form of marketing for us has been, of course, referrals. Who wouldn't like to have customers become raving fans and then in turn bring other people to you? That's always the core. That's always number one. Now, around that, we've used some broadband-style marketing, you know, radio and television, and we're also now really making a conscious shift and consistently looking at digital marketing. I mean, whether we realize it or not, I mean, you and I are both baby boomers here, but whether we realize it or not, the largest single generation, population-wise, are the millennials. And they're the people who are going to have the biggest impact spending-wise on the future. A lot of us boomers are pulling back right now. We're saying we don't need all the stuff anymore. So we're tending to become more insular in what we're buying and more very particular. The millennials, on the other hand, oh my, they represent the greatest potential. How are they going to buy? How do you communicate well with them? How do you make sure that they, in many cases, millennials want to cut to the chase. They don't want to go through a seven-step sales process. They want to start with the results in mind, and then maybe you backfill from there with the information they need to in order to get to the right choices. So it's not, you know, we have to realize that marketing to different generations requires different approaches.
And that's so true, Dave, because, you know, they've grown up in the digital era. You know, boomers, they kind of got pushed into it, and some of the older boomers are like, ah, this is so too busy for me, and the younger boomers are grasping on like the Xers. But reaching your audience and understanding where do they live and breathe, where do they read their data and their information, and it's going to be electronic. That's the future.
There's a gentleman by the name of Jason Dorsey who's runs a center about communicating with different generations. He himself is a millennial. It's interesting. I heard a talk from him a couple of weeks ago at a national conference I was at, and he said everybody thinks that millennials are digitally savvy, tech savvy. He said, no, they're not. He said they're tech dependent.
Oh, that's
a
good one.
He said they really use it, but they don't necessarily need to know how it works. They're just tech dependent. And he said, so if they're tech dependent, you've got to think of that channel when you're getting to them. Don't treat them like they're tech savvy. Some of them are. But really, it's more about being tech-dependent in order for us to write the correct messages to reach them.
And that's, you know, I never thought of it that way, Dave. You are so right on, because I hire a lot of Gen Ys, and I love their innovation and everything. But strategically, I still have to lead that roadmap. Tactically, they get it done.
Yeah.
And I love the innovation and tactically, and their ideas. They're ideation generation. They have great ideas. Any last things you want to share with us about Arm Response Team? How do they reach you? How do they get more information? Or if you have a newsletter, how do they sign up?
We welcome that chance. Again, our best method is socially through armedresponseteam.com. That's our website. You can also phone us for sure. You know, the old-fashioned methods at 237-2278. We are local. We do answer the phone. We don't make you go through operators or prompts. We can make it very easy to talk with us.
And you're listening to Business Talk Radio Show on Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL AM. Thank you so much for spending your Thanksgiving holiday listening to us today. And please save the date. It's coming up, ABQ Business Network Exchange, Wednesday, December 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at Dave & Buster's, 2100 Louisiana. You can RSVP at 604-9081. And lastly, February 4th, the Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit from 8 a.m. to 12:15 at Marriott Pyramid. That's $28 early registration. You can RSVP online at nmleaders.com. That's nmleaders.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We really appreciate and value you. And if you have any questions or comments, call 604-9081. 1-800-981-8181. My name is DJ Heckes, your sponsor and co-host of Business Talk Radio Show 1050 KTBL AM. Goodbye.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one-sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and Exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom.
Listen online at 1050talk.com. 1050 KTBL, Los Ranchos de Albuquerque.
A Cumulus Media Station.
Police officer killed in clinic attack. Record-breaking rain. I'm Michael Toscano.